Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Do you have a favorite passage of Scripture? If you're like me, you probably have several. In fact, I've written in that in several of my emails to you. Well, I'm preaching on one of my favorite passages. I've done that, I don't know how many times I've done that, just about every Sunday since I've been here. But this one's my favorite. This is my favorite. I don't care what I say in the email to you this next week, this one right here, this one is my favorite. It really is. Oftentimes I tell you we got a whale of a passage of Scripture. This is a whale of a passage of Scripture right here this morning. It doesn't get any better than this one. It really doesn't. It's from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. It's known widely as the parable of the prodigal son. That's a bit of a misnomer because it's really about the father. The story is about the loving father. And you know that from the very opening words in the 11th verse. Hear this, God's word for us today. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that falls to me. And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would gladly have fed on the pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran. The father ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy anymore. Not worthy anymore. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. He was lost. My son was lost. He's come back home. He's found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, your brother's come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "All these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to make merry and be glad. Your brother was dead." He was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. Now he's found. The Word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The question is not, do we believe in God? That's not the question. The question is, what kind of God do we believe in? What kind of God do we believe in? That's the question, most important question. The reason it's so important is because the answer to that question, what kind of God do we believe in, impacts, affects, and influences everything else that we believe. The answer to that question, what kind of God do we believe in? That impacts, influences, and affects everything else that we believe. It's the reason why I love this story so much, because this story helps answer that question. This story gives an answer to that question, what kind of God? And it doesn't just give an answer. It gives Jesus' answer. This story this morning tells us Jesus' understanding of what he believed God to be like. So, on this Father's Day, what I want to do is go back to this story about the loving Father, to see what it is that our Heavenly Father is really like. The first thing that our story says to me this morning is that you and I worship a God who loves us so much. Listen to this now. We worship a God, you and I, who loves us so much that he is willing to allow us to make our own choices. Isn't that incredible? We worship a God who loves us so much that he lets us make our own choices. God doesn't make us make the choices that God wants us to make. Did you hear that? God doesn't make us make the choices that God really wants us to make. He lets us make our own choices. He lets us make our own choices. Now, that's important. That's really important. Because what we see from that is that our own choices that you and I make impact our lives. But our choices don't just impact our lives. Our choices impact the lives of those people that are around us. And furthermore, their choices, the choices of other people that God gives the freedom to make, their choices impact our lives as well. And sometimes the choices that other people make impact our lives adversely. Has that ever happened to you? The choices that somebody else has made impacts our lives oftentimes adversely. In my over 35 years of ministry now, oftentimes I've had people come to me with that question of why. Why did this happen? Something happens. Something happens that's impacted their life and impacted their life in a negative way. Oftentimes they want to know why. And sometimes people, well-meaning people, will oftentimes say, "Well, we don't understand it. It just must be God's will." No. Not always. And the reason we know that that's true, that it's not always God's will, is because God loves us so much that He lets us make our own choices, and sometimes the choices we make are not a part of God's will. Are you with me? Are you with me? Sometimes we make choices that are not the choices that God wants us to make, but God lets us make our own choices. And those choices become an important part of our story. The choices we make, in fact, determine who we are. They determine our story. Look at how it's happening in our lesson this morning. The younger son went to the father and asked for his share of the inheritance. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that just didn't happen. In that culture, in that day, the younger son had no right. He had no right to do that. That would have been the older son's job. And even the older son in that culture would know not to ask for his share of the inheritance before the father died. That would have been a sign of tremendous, tremendous disrespect. To ask the father for his share of the inheritance before the father had died. In essence, when the younger son did that, in essence, what he was saying is, Dad, why don't you drop dead? That's what he was saying. Why don't you drop dead? Because I care more about the inheritance that you have to give to me than I care about you. Look at the way the father responds in the story this morning. The younger son comes and says, hey, go ahead and give it to me, Dad. And the father gives it to him. You know what he's doing? You know what Jesus is saying in the story? He's reminding us that God will let us go our own way. He gave him the inheritance. He let him make his own choices. God will let us make our own choices, which means that He'll let us make our own mistakes, but He'll also let us make our own way. And the choices that we make, as I said a moment ago, determine your choices, my choices, determine the story that we're going to live. So the choices we make are important. It's important to choose wisely. A few years ago, I read a great story about a family that was celebrating their father's 80th birthday. They were celebrating the father's 80th birthday. And this is what they did that I just thought this was the neatest thing. To celebrate his 80th birthday, they decided that they would take cards, something like this, and they would write down memories. They just write down memories about their father. Since he was 80 years old, they decided that they would write down 80 memories of their father. And then they would put all those cards with all of those memories in a jar. They put all kinds of things down. You know, they put things like they remembered that he wore Aramis cologne. Any of your dads wear Aramis cologne? My dad wore Aramis cologne. They put down he wore Aramis cologne. They wrote down about the clothes that he wore because he was kind of an eccentric dresser. They wrote down the kind of cars that he drove. But what was interesting about that, they didn't just write down cologne and cars and clothes. It was what the cologne and cars and clothes reminded them of. They talked about it, the trips they took in the car. See, that was the important part. They would write down the trips, the experiences they had in that car. They wrote down things like the sound of his voice when he read stories to them at night. They wrote down things like sporting events that they went to. In other words, what they were writing down is experiences. They wrote down experience after experience after experience that they had with their dad. And they went on this weekend trip and they took that jar full of those 80 memories. And through the weekend, every time they would pass the jar, they would reach in and they'd take out a handful, four or five of them, and they would read those memories, and then that would spur other memories, and they would talk about that. You know what was really on that card that they were writing down? No, those were cards full of choices, you see. Those were choices that father made. That he made choices throughout his life to make sure that he spent time with his children. You and I have that ability to make those choices. We decide every day, you and I decide every day through our choices and the decisions we make, we decide what kind a story that we're going to live. And Jesus gives us the freedom to make those choices. I got to thinking about my jar. You ever thought about your jar? I got to thinking about my jar. I wonder what kind of memories are in my jar. I wonder what kind of stories are in my jar. You ever thought about what kind of stories and memories and experiences are in your jar? So I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's got a jar. Everybody has a jar. You know what a preacher does at a funeral? I'm just going to cut to the chase here. You know what a preacher does at a funeral? He shares what's in the person's jar. That's what you do. You talk about what's in the person's jar. Jesus gives us the freedom, you see, to choose, to decide. The most important choice we will ever make is a choice that influences all of our other choices, and that's the choice to follow Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life. It's the choice to live God's way through His Son, Jesus Christ, because that choice is the one that influences every other choice that we make. God doesn't make us make that choice. He gives us the freedom to make that choice. In our story this morning, the younger son, you see, had a choice, and the father let him make that choice. Here's what happens. Because God gives you and me the freedom to make our own choices, part of what that means is sometimes we make mistakes, don't we? Sometimes we choose wrong, don't we? And sometimes we make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Sometimes we choose wrong, and it leads us into the far country. Have you ever been in the far country? Have you ever done something in your life, and it's led you to the far country? You know, when I would read this story about the younger son going in the far country, the far country in my mind was always some distant place of debauchery. But you know what I've learned? You don't have to leave home to go into the far country. Did you know that? You don't have to leave home to go in the far country. You look up one day. Has this ever happened to you? You look up, and you're in the far country spiritually. And you wonder, how did I get there? It's kind of like what we talked about last week in the sermon. It's one step. That's how we get there. One step. We take one step. Take one step in the wrong direction, and that leads to another step, which leads to another step, which leads to another step. You wake up one day and think, gee whiz, how did I get here? You know, if we're honest about it, it's just real easy to go into the far country, isn't it? Isn't it easy? Easy to go in the far country. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, judgmentalism, all of that, hatred. You know what that is? That's all far country. That's far country stuff. And God lets us make choices. He lets us make those choices. That leads us to the best part of the story. When we make those mistakes and we get into the far country, you know what our story reminds us of this morning? It tells us that God never stops loving us. Now, I want you to get that this morning. God never, ever stops loving us. I don't care how far in the far country we get, God never, ever stops loving us. And He never gives up on us. And at those times in life where we turn around and come back home, you know what God does? He doesn't reprimand us. He doesn't scold us. He doesn't get on to us. You know what He does? You know what the story says He does? What does He do? He throws a party. That's what He does, because He's so glad. He's just so glad that we came back home. You know what I found in my ministry? I found that that's the part of the story that really hangs up a lot of folks. Maybe some of you. It's hung me up at certain times in my life. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've looked at other people and you've wondered why in the world they can't get their stuff together? Has that ever happened to you? You just went, how come they can't get their life straightened out? How come they can't be perfect like me? Have you ever thought about how come? How come they can't? Why can't they get their act together? The next thing you know, they turn around, they come home, somebody throws them a party, and you start to wonder, what about me? What about me? You know what I see when I look around this sanctuary this morning? I see a lot of older brothers and sisters elder. I'm not talking about chronologically in the birth order, although some of you are the older ones like me. No, I'm not talking about that. You remember what the elder brother was like? The elder brother was the one who did what? He did the right thing. I see a lot of people in here this morning. You've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. The elder brother did the right thing. He lived the right way. He did everything he could to do what his father wanted him to do. There's a lot of elder brothers and sisters in the congregation this morning. Yeah. And when the younger son came home, the father threw a party for him. Wow. You know, at first glance, it kind of seems like the father threw the party for the wrong son, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. Put yourself in the shoes of that elder son. He was out in the field one day, coming home after a long day. He was bone tired. Have you ever been bone tired? He was bone tired. He's walking in from the field. His shoulders are slumped. His legs are heavy. You know why? Because he didn't just do his work. He had to do the work of his younger brother, too. Somebody had to pick up the slack. You know who picked up the slack? Older brother picked up the slack. Man, he's bone tired. He's walking in, and all of a sudden he hears something. It's the strangest thing. You know what it sounded like? It's crazy. It sounded like music. He's walking in one day. It sounds like music up by the big house. He called one of the hired servants over. He said, what's that sound I hear up by the big house? The hired servant said, haven't you heard? He said, heard what? He said, your younger brother came back home. Your younger brother that ran off and was lost, and he came back home. And listen to this. The hired servant said, I don't think I've ever seen your daddy so happy. You ever been the older brother? I don't think I've ever seen your daddy this happy. He's so happy. He told me to go kill the calf we've been fattening up so that we could have a big party. They've invited everybody from the river or the railroad to come. And that noise that you're hearing up by the big house, that's the band tuning up for the big party tonight. He said, listen, you better get up there and get cleaned up or you're going to miss the party. You know what the elder son said? It's all right there in the Bible. You know what he said? He said, you go back up there and tell Mom and Daddy I ain't a coming to their party. I ain't a coming. You want to know why? Because I'm the one that stayed home. And I'm the one that did what he was supposed to do. I'm the one that lived right. I'm the one that did all my work and his work too. If Daddy's going to throw a party, if he's going to throw a party, then he ought to throw it for me. So you just march yourself up there. You tell him I'm not coming to their party. Have you ever felt that way? Not coming to their party. The father overheard, and the father went down to his older son. You remember what he said? He said, son, listen to me. You've misunderstood. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have has always been yours. Everything I have, it will always be yours the rest of your life. Your party is the relationship that we already have together. And that relationship will always be there. We have a party every day, but your brother, your younger brother, listen, I'm not throwing him a party because he did right. I'm not throwing him a party because he's good. I'm not throwing him a party because he's better than you. Son, I'm throwing him a party because I thought I'd never see him again. I'm throwing him a party because he was lost and now he was found. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind. Now I see. My friends, that's the God that you and I worship. He lets us make our choices. Every one of us has made wrong choices. Every one of us will make wrong choices again and again and again. God doesn't stop loving us when we make our wrong choices. He just wants us to come back home. That's what God wants more than anything in the world. I'm just wondering this morning if there's somebody that needs to come back home. You can be sitting in the pew physically and in the far country spiritually. You look at me and you say, you don't know that. You don't know me well enough to say that. Oh, yes, I do. You know why I know that? Because I've been there. Yeah. I've been there. And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop loving us. I've told you before, I'm a child of the 70s. What I mean by that is I went to high school and college in the 70s, the decade of the best music that's ever been written. Now, I'm not kidding. But there was also some bad music in the 70s. Any of you hear any bad music in the 70s? How many of you remember Tony Orlando and Dawn? Oh, I know. That's some bad music right there. Do you remember Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree? Yeah. It's been 3 long years. Do you still... Now, I tell you, see, there's some children of the 70s in here. It's an interesting thing about that song. Did you know this, that song was based on a true story? Did you know that? That song was based on a true story. They just changed some of the details. Instead of an oak tree, it was really a crabapple tree. You can't write a song about a crabapple tree. Instead of a yellow ribbon, it was a white rag. Instead of a bus, it was a train. Instead of a young boy and the love of his life, it was a young son and the relationship he had with his father. And the true story went like this. A boy and his father got in an argument one day. That happens, doesn't it? Isn't it funny how that happened? They got in an argument, a disagreement. And then one thing led to another. Isn't that funny how that happens? You know, he took one step. Just one step. It just takes one step. I took one step. That led to another step and another step. This was said. That was said. This was said. That was said. Next thing you know, the son turned to his dad. And you know what he said? He said, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And I'm never coming back. Whew. He didn't mean that. Oh, my goodness. He didn't mean that. But he said it. And that's when pride starts to get in the way. Because when he said it, his pride said, what? Now you got to do it. And so he got up and he left. You know what? It was pretty good at first for him. He left. Now he's free. He can do anything he wants to. Now he kind of liked that for a while. And then the fun wore off. And he realized that what he wanted more than anything in the world was to go back home to mom and dad. That's what he wanted more than anything in the world was just to be able to go back home. So he's on a train heading back home one day, and a preacher just happened to sit down next to him, and the preacher could tell immediately that he was troubled. It was written all over his face, and he could tell he was terribly troubled. And so finally the preacher spoke up and he said, son, I can tell something's bothering you. I don't know what it is, but if there's anything I can do, I'd be happy to try to do it. And that's when the boy told his story. One thing led to another. Finally, in anger, he told his dad he was leaving, never coming back. He said, I want to go back. I want that more than anything in the world. So he said, what I did is I sat down and I wrote a letter to my parents. And in that letter, I told them that I was going to be on this train. This train was the one I was going to be on. I told him what time that train would be coming through our hometown. He said, the train tracks run right behind our home place. And so I said, I'm going to be on this train. It's coming through town at this time. And so what I told them was, is if they could somehow forgive me, if they could find it in their hearts to forgive me and have me back, if they would just tie a white rag on one of the limbs of that crabapple tree, and I'd see it and I would know that it was okay to come back. If there wasn't a white rag on the limb of the crabapple tree, then I would understand. And he said, and it would only be right. I would deserve it. And I'd stay on that train and I'd stay out of their lives forever. About that time, the train is slowing down because it's coming into town. And as the train was coming into town, it was getting closer and closer to the old home place and the crabapple tree that's in the backyard. The son just put his head down in his hands and he turned to the preacher and he said, I don't have the heart to look. I just don't have the heart to look. Would you look for me? And so the preacher started looking out the window, and as the train passed by the home place, he reached over and he patted the boy on the leg. He said, son, you can go home. He said, you can go home. He said, that crabapple tree is white as snow. There's a rag, a white rag, on every single limb. You know what this story is saying to me this morning? This story right here is saying that the trees of our life, yours and mine, are white as snow. So filled they are with God's love and grace and forgiveness. And what He wants more than anything else in all His world is for us to come home, to come home, to come home. If you're in the far country this morning, all He wants is for you to come home. Listen, friends, that's the God we worship. He lets us make our choices. When we make the wrong choices, He doesn't stop loving us. He just wants us to come. It's Father's Day. Every Father's Day, I think about my dad. Every Father's Day. You ever hear somebody say, ask you what you would do if you had one wish? You ever had that? Somebody say, if you had one wish, what would you wish for? That ever happened to you? Got one wish, what would you wish for? I hear people say, well, if I had one wish, I'd wish that all my other wishes would come true. That's stupid. They're not even wishes like that. No, you got one wish, what's your wish? Got one wish, what's your wish? You know what? I know what my wish would be if I had one wish. I had one wish. You know what my wish would be? My wish would be to be able to go into the side yard of our house on 1352 Miles Avenue in Union City, Tennessee, and have one more time of playing pitch with my dad. One more time. This right here, this was my glove. It's got worn places right there because I was a glove pounder. You know what I mean, glove pounder? I was a glove pounder. This right here was my dad's glove. This was his glove. I can pull that glove out and I can smell that thing. I can still smell my dad. I can still smell him. My dad was an educator like some of y'all. He taught chemistry and physics in South Fulton, Tennessee when I was a little boy. Later in his career, he became a principal. When I was a little boy, he was a teacher. What that meant is in the summertime, he had to have another job. And he worked at the meat packing plant in Union City in the summer, real foot packing house. I'm going to tell you something, that's some hard work right there. That's some hard work. And I remember my dad would come home late in the afternoon working at the packing house. And I've seen him times when he was so tired, his hands would be trembling. He was so tired. He'd come home in the afternoon. I'd been waiting for him. And I'd have my glove. And I'd have his glove. And he'd get out of the car. And I'd say, Daddy, Can you throw some? Play a little pitch? He never turned me down. Never said no. Not one time. Not one time. And we always go out in the side yard. We go to the side yard, we throw, and I'd say, throw me a pop-up. He'd reach down, and he'd throw it way up in there. I'd catch it. I'd say, Daddy, throw it higher this time. Throw as high as you can throw it. Make me run. And so he would throw, he would rear back. Ball would almost touch the ground. He would rear back so hard, and he would throw it. He would throw it left or right or over my head where I had to run back, and get underneath him. And then he would say, throw me one. I'd rear back, and I'd throw it as high as I could. He was a glove pounder, too. And he'd get up underneath it. And you know what he would do at the last minute? He'd get up underneath it. You know what he would do at the last minute? He'd put the glove behind his back, and he would catch it behind his back. Because he was the best. So that would be my wish. One more time. All those times playing pitch when he was bone tired, you know what he was doing? He was putting a card in the jar. You guys listening to me? Are you listening to me? He was putting a card in the jar. You putting cards in the jar? It's never too late. It's never too late to put cards in the jar. Dads, moms, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, anybody else you've got a special relationship with, it's never too late to put a card in the jar. Choices. My dad made some choices. I hope you had a daddy like that. I hope you did. Maybe some of you still have a daddy like that. But you know what I've discovered through the years? Here's what I've discovered. Any idiot can father a child. Did you know that? Any idiot can father a child. It doesn't take any sense to father a child. Any idiot can do that. It takes something special to be a daddy. You know what Jesus is saying in our lesson this morning? He's saying we got the best daddy of all. The best daddy of all. We said the Lord's Prayer a minute ago. Let me close with this. We say our Father because we flower it up. Our Father who art in heaven. The word that's there is the word Abba. Are you familiar with this? The word is Abba. You know what it literally means? The closest word in our English language to Abba is daddy. It's a term of endearment. Jesus was using a term of endearment. It literally means daddy. Jesus was talking about our heavenly daddy. Our heavenly daddy. Listen, I know that image is hard for some people because they don't have a daddy that images that in a positive way. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater with that image. Listen, Jesus is not talking about just any daddy. He's talking about the loving, caring, sacrificial daddy. And what he's saying is, that's the kind of heavenly Father that we have. What's he like? Well, I'll tell you. He loves us so much that he'll let us make our own choices. And when we make the wrong choices, no matter who we are, he never stops loving us. And he's in the business of throwing parties for the wrong people. Isn't that great? Throwing parties for the wrong people. You know why that's such good news? Because sometimes the wrong people that he throws the party for are folks like you and me. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.